Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And you know, there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons tonight and instructions will be taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am so thrilled that tonight we will continue our new study in the book of Psalms. Now, you know, this study will expose to us the most beautiful verses that are written in our Bible. And it is worthy of note, my precious brothers and sisters, that you understand that King David did not write all of the Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible. 12 were written by Asaph, 2 were written by Solomon, and 1 was written by Moses, 1 by Ethan, and 12 others were written by the sons of Korah. I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pen and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time, if you'd like, you can ask questions or comment, or you can even inquire. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, like I always do, to thank all of those of you who have given me feedback on the show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters. So thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Now, God said through King Solomon, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This also, I say, this is from the hand of God. Now, this is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Now, the promise is that if you recognize what comes from the hand of God, regardless of your situation, you should eat and drink and be merry in it, and you will prosper in that aspect of your life. Now, God said again, through King Solomon, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. This is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And again, what the promise is telling us is that you will be healthy if you will not rely on your own wisdom. Fear God and keep from evil. God said through King David, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to according that which is written in his holy word. This is taken from Psalms 119, verse 9. Now, the promise is that you want to be clean, then you adhere to God's holy word. So, again, I'm saying, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want to remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way, my precious brothers and sisters, that you will break this code is through study and learning. Okay, let's get to the study. Now, we're going to look at the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms that were written in our Bible, and I've written 232 instructions for them. Now, we're going to start with Psalms 13, and as I read Psalms 13 to you, I want you to keep in mind that this is the instruction that I'm drawing from this psalm. How long must we wait for the goodness of God? Now, this is what King David told the Israelites. Psalms 13, this is what it says. Now, as I read it to you, how long must we wait for the goodness of the Lord God? And this is what King David said. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, listen to the answer. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Now, David tells Israel, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Listen, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So how long must we wait for the goodness of the Lord? As long as it takes for him to give us what we need. And of course, we will not receive what we need if we're not doing his will. Now, that's what David was relaying to the Israelites. Now, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelations. We're going to look at the New Testament complement, if you will, and we're going to compare and agree and see what the book of Revelation tells us about the same. We're going to look at Revelations chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Revelations chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, and this is what the Spirit is telling the church. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, how holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? Remember, we're looking for how long must we wait for the goodness of the Lord? And this is what Revelation says in verse 11, and white robes were given unto each one of them. And it was said unto them, how long? They that should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that were killed as they were should be fulfilled. That is how long we must wait until God determines, Jesus in particular, that all of those who are to be saved have been saved. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that as soon as you receive the indwelling, you start knowing the goodness of God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? That's what I want you to know, how long. As soon as you receive the indwelling, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then you will start being satisfied with being served by the Lord. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms 14 this time. Psalms 14, and we are going to continue after we have a break.
world a favor and be you, because everybody else is already taken. Do the world a favor and be you. The world needs you, or God wouldn't have made you. If God wanted me to be somebody else, I wouldn't be here. I would be them. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop letting the culture define what's beautiful. God says you're beautiful. Have you listened to God's voice in Psalms 139, 13, and 14? That when you were in your mother's womb, you were wonderfully and fearfully made? Have you looked in the mirror and said, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made because God says? Or have you looked at TV images? Have you looked at magazine covers and said, oh, I'm ugly because I don't look like them? And God is going, precious child, you are beautiful to me.
Too many people go around feeling wrong on the inside. They don't really like who they are. They focus on their faults, weaknesses. They're constantly critical toward themselves. That recording of everything they've done wrong is always playing in their mind. You're impatient. You blew your diet yesterday. You lost your temper. You're still struggling with that addiction. You should be ashamed of yourself. They wonder why they're not happy. It's because they have this war going on the inside. You're not supposed to go through life feeling wrong about yourself. Quit focusing on your faults. Quit overanalyzing your weaknesses. Quit beating yourself up because you're not where you thought you would be. Here's the key. You're not a finished product. God is still working on you. The scripture says God changes us from glory to glory. You have to learn to enjoy the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. There may be some areas where you know you need to improve, but being down on yourself is not going to help you do better. Having that nagging feeling, telling you you don't measure up, God's not pleased with you, you'll never get it right, it's not going to help you move forward. You have to accept yourself right where you are, faults and all. God is the potter, we are the clay. He's the one making you and molding you. It may not be happening as fast as you would like, but you don't control the timetable. Will you trust Him in the process? Will you accept yourself in the glory that you're in right now? Don't go around being against yourself. You may have some things wrong with you, but can I tell you, you have a lot more right with you. You may have a long way to go, but if you look back, you'll see how far you've already come. Keep your flaws in perspective. Every person has something they're dealing with. When you are for yourself, you are in agreement with God. And some people have never once said, I like myself. I like my gifts. I like my personality. I like my looks. I'm happy with who God made me to be. If you don't like yourself in a healthy way, other people are not going to like you. You project what you believe on the inside. If you feel wrong about yourself, you project inferiority, unfriendliness, discontentment. I'm asking you to feel good about who you are. You may not be where you want to be, but you're on the way. God is changing you from glory to glory. Start enjoying the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. Don't you dare go through life against yourself. God is saying today, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Now do your part. Start putting on the breastplate of God's approval each morning. If you'll do this, I believe and declare every chain that's holding you back is being broken. God is going to keep making you and molding you. You're going to come up higher. Overcome those obstacles and become everything He's created you to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Let us look at Psalms 14. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 4. And this is the instruction that I would like you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The fool says there is no God. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Now, you don't have to say it verbatim, but the way you act can indicate that foolishness is what you are professing. And the fool says there is no God. And this is what Psalms 14, verse 1 through 4 says, and this is King David telling Israel this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone astray. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? My precious brothers and sisters, what King David is telling Israel, that from the onset, with the knowledge of good and evil, you are foolish. And until you put on the knowledge of everlasting life, you continue to remain in that foolish state. You may not be extremely foolish, but you are still foolish about this life, because you're living in vain if you're only operating out of the mind of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this, I'm going to ask you to quickly turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. And this is what King David, or King Solomon, said about it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. This is what King Solomon said. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Be very careful when you discern right from wrong. Are you thinking that you're discerning right from wrong and it's against the laws of God? Be very careful. Hearken unto wise counsel. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, that's wise counsel. Now turn again with me to Proverbs 28, verse 16, and we're going to see further what King Solomon has to attest to this. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Don't say that I know in my heart of hearts that this is correct. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's what King Solomon said. Now let's go to our New Testament complement and see what Jesus adds to this. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 19 and 20. This is what Jesus has to say. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 and 20. And Jesus said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So the fool will say in his heart, there is no God, and God will take his life instantly. And that happens on a regular basis. Now let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. And we're going to get more of an understanding. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 12, verse 26 and 27. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew against this house and beat upon it, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Again, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying, if you do not listen to what he is saying, you are building your house upon sand, and you are a fool. Now, to complete the thought, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 16 through 19, and this substantiates it further. This is Jesus talking again in Matthew 23, verse 16 through 19, and this is what he says. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple which sanctifies the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever swear by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Again, this is what is saying to us, that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. And that is something that we must be very careful of. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that foolish is what foolish does. If you say there is no God and don't obey him, then he is no God to you. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Be very careful. When that which is within you speaks, you need to respond, more especially if you are trying to know God. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 15, and we're going to read verse 1 through 5 in Psalms 15. And this is what King David said to the Israelites. And I want you to pay attention to the instruction as I read it, as I read the text. This is the instruction. Who shall abide in the Lord's tabernacle and dwell upon his holy hill? My brothers and sisters, who of us shall abide in the Lord's tabernacle, and who of us shall dwell upon his holy hill? And this is what King David said about that. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? This is who, he that walketh uprightly. This is who, he that worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. My brothers and sisters, you want to abide in the Lord's tabernacle? You want to dwell upon his holy hill? Respond affirmatively. Follow what David told the Israelites to do. Now, this is more significant today. This is what Jesus is saying in John chapter 6, verse 53. Through 58. This is what Jesus says. John chapter 6, verse 53 through 58. And this is significant for us to understand and to hear. And I'll tell you, we will come back and complete it after we have a break.
I can't. I can is a phrase that we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. In our modern world, Albert Einstein, the mathematician, physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities. Yet they led created and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 21, and it is telling us, who shall abide in the Lord's tabernacle and dwell upon his holy hill? We just heard, or we just read, what Psalms 15, verse 1 through 5 said, David talking to Israel, and how explicit he was. And now, because we're under the new covenant, we're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 53 through 58. And this is how Jesus amplifies that. Everything that King David said to Israel is good. But this is climactic. Without this, what you would do as King David says would be lacking, because you're not following completely what King David identified through God before the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came to be in existence, or I should say, came to be in our awareness in the New Testament. This is what John chapter 6, verse 53 through 58 says. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen, my precious brothers and sisters, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Continue to listen carefully, my brothers and sisters, because what we're going to find out is that is a symbol that is physical, but spiritually applied, that is key. That is what Jesus is talking about. And this is what verse 54 says, whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I lived by the Father, so he that eateth me, even so shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. That eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, to complete the thought, this is what Jesus said in verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That is the key. That is what you have to realize. Jesus says further that if you come to me, that's eating his flesh. If you believe on me, that's drinking his blood. This is critical, my brothers and sisters. Without it, we cannot be sanctioned for salvation. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must obey the law of God and the words of Jesus Christ to be with them forever in heaven. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? We must obey the law of God, and we must also respond affirmatively to the words of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that today we look at Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the light, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by way of Jesus Christ. That's critical to note. Now let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 16. We're going to read verse 5 through 8. Psalm 16, verse 5 through 8. And what I want you to do is pay attention or keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. This is the instruction. God is my great portion. God is my only great portion. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And we're talking about Jesus Christ, because God has given Jesus all power and authority in heaven and in earth in this era. But when David spoke to Israel, he was identifying Jehovah God or Yahweh. Some say El Shaddai. There are Adonai. There are other names that represent the same God. And this is the one that we're talking about. God the Father is our only great portion. And this is how David gave that to Israel in chapter 16 of Psalms 5, verse 8. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My wrens also instruct me in the night season, meaning that which is within me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You want both your body and soul to be in the Lord. And God said about Jesus Christ, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So all of the authority that I mentioned earlier has been passed on to Jesus Christ, and this is so significant for us to understand. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at one verse that's going to culminate exactly what I just said to you about Jesus Christ being as significant as he is. Paul is teaching us through 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Listen to what Paul says, and this is our portion. And Jesus said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That should be our portion today, the grace of God. And we know that Paul identified the grace of God as the free gift, Jesus the Christ. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus, that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost are the portion that we need today to be successful in Christianity. My brothers and sisters, we need all three. Now, we know that there are many Christians that have not been born again. They are lacking. And we know that there are many Christians that have been born again that have not received the indwelling. They are still lacking. If you want to have the fullness of God, you must have the indwelling, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that is critical to being successful in Jesus, in God today. Now, before we go to the next instruction, we're going to break again for a pause.
You've got a right to resist God, to reject God. But the Bible says, in spite of our rebellion and rejection, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his Son to die for your sins. And when Christ died on that cross, we don't understand all that happened on that cross. But we know one thing, that he took the hell and the judgment that you deserved and I deserved because of our sins. He took it on that cross. And that's why that terrible expression comes from his lips, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, the very meaning of hell is separation from God. And in that terrible moment, a shadow passed between God the Father and God the Son for the first time since eternity began. Christ dying for you, and he suffered the pangs of hell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue. We're on instruction number 23. Let's go back to Psalm 16. We're going to take another verse, or we're going to read another several verses from Psalms 16 again, verse 9 through 11. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? In God's presence is fullness of joy. And let me tell you something. If God is residing in you, as I mentioned earlier, or just a second ago about the indwelling, there should be fullness of joy. And this is what David said about it in Psalms 16, verse 9 through 11, telling the Israelites, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave thy soul, my soul, in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We know that a lot of theologians take these three versions, or these three verses, and they depict Jesus as he went through his crucifixion, that he received this joy because he was in the presence of the Lord God from the time that he went on his ministry until the time that he resurrected into heaven, or he was raised from the dead. But we can see also that if you hold to what I just mentioned, if that is within you, that indwelling, you should have the presence of God, and you should have the presence of that joy. Now, what we're going to do now is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Jesus put it to us in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. And this is what Jesus says. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. And this is how Jesus replicates that today in us. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That is the culmination of the reception of the indwelling. If you do not receive Jesus Christ, then you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And that's where the fullness of joy resides, in the presence of God, fully, as Paul identified the Godhead. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today Jesus has the power to give us the joy of God. And it only comes through Jesus. What did we just read? It said that he would give us another comforter. In fact, just to complete that thought, let's turn quickly to John chapter 15, verse 11. John 15, verse 11, this is what it says. Jesus is talking again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You want the fullness of joy? Then you have to receive Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost thereafter, having the full body of the Godhead. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms verse 17, or chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse, we're going to look at verse 8 through 14. Psalms 17, verse 8 through 14. And this is what I want you to pay attention to. This is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Some men carry out God's judgment. Some men carry out God's judgment. And we know how true that is. Now, this is what King David had to say about that to Israel in Psalm 17, verse 8 through 14. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me from the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are included in their own fat. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world, which have their portion in their life, and whose bellies thou fillest with hid treasure, that they are full of children and leave rest of their own substance to their babes. Now, what David is telling us is some men carry out God's judgment. That is telling us that we know, and we have good examples of it throughout basic instructions before leaving earth, that there are those. Pharaoh carried out God's judgment. Nebuchadnezzar carried out God's judgment. Even Pontius Pilate carried out God's judgment. The same with Judas Iscariot. So there are many ways that this has been accomplished, and this is what we have to be aware of. Now let's go to John chapter 12, verse 30 through 32, and see what the Gospel of John says about this. John chapter 12, verse 30 through 32. And this is Jesus again speaking. And this is what it says. The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And that is what I want you to understand. And that is telling us that Jesus today is the one that is judging the world. And if we turn to John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11, we'll get more of an understanding of this. This is what John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11 says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters, about carrying out God's judgment. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, Jesus the Christ, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I will be sitting at the right hand of God forevermore until I return for the revelation and of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. So that tells us that Jesus is going to be the judge that's going to carry out judgment for God in this era. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that today both men and the Holy Ghost carries out God's orders. So we mentioned in the Old Testament how Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, Judas Iscariot, Pilate carried out God's orders. Now it is the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ that is going to pronounce judgment, has pronounced judgment on this world. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Psalms. We're going to look at Psalms 18, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 3, Psalms 18, verse 1 through 3, and I want you to pay attention to this instruction, or as I read the text, pay attention to this instruction. God is all in all. This is what David said about that in Psalms 18, verse 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
Like dementia, with this
God is telling us that he is all in all. And that is what David is saying in this psalm. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 15, verse 27 and 28. And this is how Paul puts it to us today. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which he did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected unto him that put all things under him, and God will become all in all. That is critical, my brothers and sisters, for us to understand that Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth right now. And once he completes what God has called him to do, then he will turn everything over to God the Father. And then God will become all in all, meaning God will be the one dwelling in mankind. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. And this is what it should mean spiritually in our lives, that all the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost is the best way we know that God is, well, this is what it should mean, that God will dwell in men and will become one with man. That is what I want you to understand. And now, before we go to the next instruction, we're going to take a break.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures, thinking they're going to last forever, but they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sins, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking. You change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God, and say, oh God, I need you. I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Well,
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. Let's turn to Psalms 18, verse 19 through 26. Psalms 18, verse 19 through 26. And as I read the text to you, I want you to pay attention to this instruction. This is the instruction. Some ways God will delight in man. That's what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. These are some of the ways God will delight in man. It is Psalms 18, verse 19 through 26. And this is what David is telling us in Psalms 18, verse 19 through 26. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from God. For all of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I will also upright myself before him and keep myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thought will show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. So these are some of the ways that God delights in man. And that is what King Solomon or King David was telling Israel. Now turn with me, if you will, to our New Testament compliment. And we're going to see what Jesus had to say about this in John chapter 14, verse 23. This is what is significant to us today, my precious brothers and sisters. You want the ways of God to be delight? This is what you must do. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. Remember earlier I told you about the indwelling? That is so significant. Jesus is telling us, he's reiterating it again in John chapter 14, verse 23, that if you love him, you will keep his words. The Father will love you, and the both of them will come and make their abode in you. That is how we delight ourselves in God today, by believing and responding to the words of Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost is the best way to know that God is delighted with us. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? The love, the wisdom, the knowledge, the joy, the faith, the peace, the healing, the long-suffering, the forbearance, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, all of those elements, those attributes of the Holy Ghost. We abound in those elements. Jesus says, hereby is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit, and that thus you shall be my disciple. So if you want the ways to delight God, abound in the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. And of course, you can only do that through Jesus the Christ. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go now to Psalms 18 again. We're going to take another instruction from Psalms 18. We're going to look at Psalms 18, verse 27 through 37. Psalms 18, verse 27 through 37. And this is what I want you to keep this in mind as I read the text to you. What God will do for his beloved. This is what God will do for his beloved. This is what David told Israel. And this is what Psalms 18, verse 27 through 37 says. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leapt over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hand to war, so that a bow of strength is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy goodness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet do not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither do I turn again till they were consumed. My precious brothers and sisters, these are what God will do for his beloved. And that is what Solomon is telling Israel. Now, what we should take to heart more so than that is how we should respond to God today. And this is what Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 40. John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is so significant because all of what David told Israel is culminated in what Jesus tells us today. And again, Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. And we know again that God said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This is what John chapter 6, verse 40 says. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." My brothers and sisters, salvation is the key. And we only get salvation through the Messiah. And the Messiah has been identified to us as Jesus the Christ. That is the coup de grace. God wills that his beloved all be saved. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will save you in the end. And during the interim of your life, he will provide sustenance and protection. If you respond to God as he has identified it in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, God will save you. And during the interim, he will provide you sustenance and protection. And what is that? Jesus told us that he will provide you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who will guide you in all truth, who will teach you all things of God, and will bring back to your remembrance everything that Jesus Christ has said of God. Now, this concludes our instruction this evening. And as we complete this lesson and are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.